Well, quite an amusing video there. The preacher isn't really saying take the bus, but hopefully you get the point that it's better to work in teams. It's better to be a part of a group that look out for you, that are a part of a community that can fend off killer whales or nose-diving seagulls or whatever else the challenges might be. And as we think about this theme today of community and being a church that needs one another, hopefully some of those more lighter images can help us as we grapple with that. But I wonder what you think about community. I wonder what you'd like this community to be like. What do you want from it? It should be a team, shouldn't it? A community is a group of people that are on board with one another, that care for one another, that bring what they can bring to the table so that that the objective can be reached. There's a common goal and a need for working with one another. But there's more than that, isn't there? There's more than just teamwork as a bunch of crabs or as a bunch of ants or as a bunch of wonderfully looking individuals this morning. It's more than just friendship as well, though. As you can see, this picture here, imitating something of what a group of friends might look like in a church as they gather at a life group or hang out one evening, a bunch of students enjoying friendship. Community is more than just the social. It's certainly more than just gathering around another common interest. Many people do different things on a Sunday morning. Is this just what we're interested in? A community of people that like to sit on soft blue chairs in a college and sing a bit and listen to some guy speak and then head off after a coffee. Is it more than that? You see, going to church is a part of what it means to be a community, but it's not it. In fact, the New Testament's quite clear in the Bible that going to church isn't really what a Christian is. A Christian is a part of a community. It's not going to church, but being planted into a community, building friendships, relationships, and growing together around the same common theme. Someone put it like that, like this: community is not something you join, but something you build. So if community is more than teamwork, if it's more than just friendships, if it's more than going to a service one Sunday morning every now and again when you remember, what is it? Well, it involves building something around a common goal. And if you're here, you probably know what that is. That's Jesus. That's the message that the Bible communicates. Community for the church is built around him. And that's what we believe as a church here, that we come together because we have a common love, a love for Jesus because of his love for us. And so we're committed to one another, to forgive each other when we mess up, to care for one another when we're struggling, to celebrate the great things together that are going on in our community and get alongside one another when things aren't quite so great. And so instead of being something you just join and you're a part of another club or group or sports activity or interest area, we're seeing that community, in terms of Christian community, is something far greater. And it's something we need to never assume, but continue to build upon. If we think a little bit more theologically, in terms of the scope of the Bible, maybe it's this: aiming to reflect God the Father, Son, and Spirit, the perfect community. Now, the Bible describes for us that God, Father, Son, and Spirit have this wonderful relationship of love, that they welcome humanity to join. And as we think about what is Christian community today and how we can go and do mission together in our normal lives and on specific occasions, maybe thinking of God, Father, Son, and Spirit and their relationship of love, of purpose, of unity is something that can help us. Maybe we aspire and hope to be a group of people, a church that is united, that is loving, that is caring for other, not just self, and able to take that to the world that we live in, not because of our greatness, because of God's great love. shown to us. So there's a few ideas to start with about community, but you might be thinking, well, so often we fail. We get it wrong. We don't manage to be the community that we want to be. We let each other down. We take from community without giving to it. We consume rather than commit, and certainly we fail to be a perfect, loving community. And as we read the Bible, we realize that different churches that Paul writes to or that are written to by other authors in the New Testament certainly aren't perfect. They have their issues, just like us. And so as we come to this, you might think, well, why bother? It's so hard. Churches mess up and down the country, around the world. I've been upset by others. What is it all about? Is it worth it? Well, the good news is that God doesn't ask us to be perfect in ourselves. He makes us holy and pure and perfect both because Jesus has been there and done that in our place. And so why bother trying? Well, because God's grace enables us. In Romans chapter 16, we're going to read it in a moment. We read this in verse 20. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And as we start thinking about this concept of community and what chapter 16 of Romans tells us about that, we're going to realize that we need to be a community of grace. We're saved by grace if we follow Jesus. If you're looking into Christianity, then that's kind of the heart of what the Bible teaches. That in spite of our wrong, our sin, our problems, our brokenness, God loves us because of his grace. And he wants to transform us into a community that is perfect, holy, pure. That is the end game. We're on the journey of getting there. And so until we get there, we remember grace and we receive God's presence with us for that journey. So we're going to read chapter 16 of Romans. And so this is Paul writing a letter to this church in Rome. And there it's kind of more of a, rather than a large gathering like this, imagine lots of small groups, lots of life groups that typically meet during the week. They don't maybe gather together like we do as regularly. And so this was a church with lots of households and community groups scattered, but also there was a corporate element to them. So we'll find out what Paul says right at the end of his book. Last week we were looking at chapter 15 and we heard about what it means to be commissioned by grace. And this week we're thinking about community on mission. So here we go, Romans chapter 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchreae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They're outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ was stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Not sure that one's quite pronounced correctly. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who were in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, whose women who worked hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus and Phlegon, Hermas and Patrobus, Hermas and other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus, the sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way,
that are contrary to the teaching that you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. So, quite a bunch of names there. I made it through most of them. Thank you. I had a few people in mind to text this week to say, could you do a reading? And yeah, at the last minute, I didn't send those texts. So be grateful that you weren't approached. Thought I'd take that on. Now, why did I read that passage? I don't think I've ever heard that passage read in church before. Has anyone else? We tend to avoid some of these passages that maybe have hard words or names in or that seem less relevant. But as I was studying this passage this last week, I was only all too aware of the relevance that it has for this topic, for this theme, and the importance of understanding what community is. And as you can see on the screen here, a community on mission welcomes everyone. In the first two verses, we're introduced to this lady, Phoebe. Phoebe was worthy of a fine welcome. She was a deaconess, someone that was a minister, a servant to God's work and churches. And so she was active, she was involved, she was empowered and trusted to use her gifts of leadership, of engagement with the poor or the needy. And more than that, she's described as being a benefactor of many. So in verse 2, I ask you to receive Phoebe in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Sounds like Phoebe was a prominent lady with capability, someone that had a role within society. And she came to faith and she got involved in the church and she had a role in the church and her gifts were used. And Paul was blessed by her. And she's been given this task to take this letter to the church in Rome, to carry it and take it to this church that she's never met, people that she doesn't know. And what is it that Paul encourages? He says, receive her well in the Lord. She is worthy of a fine welcome. I hope everyone received the fine welcome today from as you came in from Canterbury into the received a coffee. We've got a wonderful welcome team. I hope they managed to make you feel welcome. Be welcomed if you're new here. We really value a strong welcome. But welcome is more than just saying hello and a smiley face and receiving a cup of coffee. And that's kind of the point behind what Paul was saying for their welcome of Phoebe. Welcoming everyone doesn't finish with serving them just a coffee. And the church needed to grasp that because Paul was making a real effort in these two verses to say, look, she's worthy of a fine welcome. This is not just a sister in Christ, someone that you don't know but can be united with because of Jesus. This is someone who has done a huge amount of work with me in blessing others, maybe not in Rome, but in other areas. And so great length is gone by Paul for this lady that we don't know an awful lot about to be welcomed. And as we think about what community is, shouldn't that be at the heart of a community like this? That we're a community that cares, that welcomes new people, that doesn't just say, oh, here's a coffee, hope you enjoyed the service, see you next week, but actually goes to great lengths to help people settle in, feel integrated, feel a part of what we have in common. Not just because spiritually we share the hope of knowing Jesus, but because actually that's how we grow. By not just going to church, but being planted in community. So that we can grow, so that we can flourish, so that we can use our gifts and build relationships that last and help us through the ups and downs of life. And with Phoebe, we get a little sight of this, don't we, in these opening two verses. I wonder if you recognise this tree. Anyone spot where this tree is taken from? I've got a few nods here. Yeah, it's local. It's Canterbury, Westgate Gardens. Now, me and my family, whenever we go with friends, we do that thing you do around huge trees. Has anyone else done it? You know what I'm going to say. You kind of try and go all the way around holding hands. And, some people are... That's weird. Stretch round a huge wide tree. Try it. It's great fun. I'm not talking about tree hugging. I'm talking about kind of capturing something of family and friendship as anyway. If you don't get it, there we go. This tree is really big. It's tall. It's wide. It's kind of a meeting point. It's somewhere people go if they're on a tour of Canterbury, I imagine. But as tall as it is, as it goes up into the sky, as wide as it is, as you try and kind of imagine the age of this tree, don't forget the roots. Don't forget the depths that the roots go down, that they spread across in order for this tree to not get blown down in a strong wind, in order for this tree to last for many years, to be durable and lasting. See, this tree is dependent on what is below the surface, isn't it? And as we think about welcoming others, let's not make a community that is without roots, without an ability for being planted into a group of people where there is friendships that can form, relationships that can develop, and then when the challenges in life come, will last through the storm. How important that is. So community relies on a strong welcome, because as the church community, we don't get kind of satisfied with a certain number, with a certain few, and just go, yeah, we're sorted now. We're going to carry on like this. Christian community is all about sharing and welcoming others in. And we're passionate about that as a church. So let's be a welcoming community. If we think about the next few verses, I'm not going to read them through fully again, but what we find is that a community on mission with a united person in Jesus, with a commission to go and tell the good news to others, involves everyone. It's not about just the few up the front with the microphone. We might have been focusing upon that last week in the preach, thinking about what a gospel worker is. And we read about that in chapter 15 of Romans. But here, what chapter 16 shows us is that everyone's got a part to play. Last week I was talking about an orchestra and how we all need to play our instrument for a great sound. That's the point of this chapter. Everyone had a part to play in the diverse community that was the church in Rome. Let me highlight a few examples. Priscilla and Aquila were fellow workers with Paul. They were based there. There was a church that met in their house. There was another guy, whose name I won't say, who was the first convert to Christ. There was Mary, who worked very hard for them. There were other fellow Jews, others that had been in prison with Paul. There were people that were outstanding amongst the apostles. And that's not talking about the 12. That's talking about the gift of apostleship to be sent out, to go like cross-cultural missionaries are sent out, to go and share the good news with a gift that enables new people to hear of Jesus and new places to be reached. There's those that were in the household of someone else. There were others who worked hard, many women who worked hard in the Lord. There were people who are described as being like a mother to Paul. Paul is invested in relationships somehow here, even though it doesn't seem like he's been to this church. He's got deep relationships with this community. He greets others that may be family members, brothers and sisters with them. And all the Lord's people, this kind of broader term. This is Paul speaking about family, about community, about those that don't just work in a church, but are in the church, invested in relationships. Those that offer hospitality like Gaius, Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and a brother Quartus. Look, this is the civil kind of nature of the town. This is people with regular jobs. This is brothers and sisters and parents, mothers. This is community, diverse, Jew and Gentile. Why am I laboring this point? Well, because we all have a part to play. And what we find in this greeting at the end of the letter is not Paul just writing to some senior leader saying, please read this out, encourage the church to live out the gospel and be a good community. He's displaying it out of relationships. And as we think about that, that kind of shows us, doesn't it, that involving everyone doesn't finish with giving people tasks. It's not just about open up your home so that you can do some hospitality and then you've done a task. It's not about just delivering a letter and then carry on with your work, Phoebe. You see, church community is not so much about the tasks as the relationships, the people. And out of those relationships comes the support and the care and the growth to enable compassionate action, to enable great effective preaching, and to be a community that is attractive to be a part of. Imagine people coming to Barton and kind of going, well, they're very task focused, they get everything done, very smooth, efficient, and they're off out way before 1 o'clock. They don't really talk to each other. They don't really relate to one another as family. That'd be a sad thing. What if we were a community that was a welcoming, loving, caring family? And I think we're not a long way off that. And I think there's amazing people within our church that display that. And maybe that's a reason for the growth, some of the growth that we're seeing. But it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Are we often too tempted to be friendly rather than to develop friendships? Paul, in another letter in the New Testament, says this, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. It speaks of emotion and relationship and care and investment, doesn't it? Not only is he committed to proclaiming the gospel, the good news that Jesus died and rose so that others would have eternal life. Not only is he committed to that, he's also committed to opening up and being vulnerable with people, being honest and growing in relationship with them. I over the summer visited one or two churches. You do that on holiday, don't you? Well, I don't know, maybe you guys don't, but I certainly do. On my Sundays off from Barton, it's great to go to other churches, and went to one a few weeks back. And it was really nice. People were friendly. They were really friendly, and they gave us a nice welcome, although they didn't have coffee before or after. So they got a bit of a black mark there. But we'll let them off. It was the summer, and apparently you have to do things, you know, a bit different in the summer. But people were friendly, and they were interested, and they wanted to find out about Nadia and myself, and it was really nice. But if I were to continue to go to other churches on random Sundays through the course of the term and got a friendly welcome, that wouldn't be enough. That wouldn't be community, would it? It would be a bit superficial. And what it reminded me of was that, isn't it wonderful to be committed to a local community? A church where people aren't just friendly, but they care about you. They care about friendships and building community, being planted in relationships so that we can flourish and grow. And that's what we see here in this passage. The final main point on this I want to make is in the next slide, which says a community on mission also needs protecting. And we find this in the final few verses of the chapter, verse 17 and 18. And what we find is that there's protection from division and being led astray by false teaching. So verse 17, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. And then the next line, verse 18 says, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. What we see is that the community was under threat. We find this from other letters that Paul writes to the church in Galatia, for example. There is clearly a false teaching, a false gospel message that's being spread. And the early churches needed to watch out for that. Because if the young Christians would have taken their eye off the truth of what the apostles had taught and Jesus had taught and gone down another line, they would have changed the truth of how you become a Christian, of what it means to live for Christ, what it means to be as a Christian community. And so Paul here is writing saying, yeah, be welcoming. Make sure everyone's involved, but also protect yourselves from the danger of false teaching, from division. Should we do it this way or that way? Should we believe this teacher or that teacher? He's saying, come back to what you've been taught. The gospel has been proclaimed when it was planted in the Church of Rome. And the book of Romans is a letter that unpacks the truth of sin, of grace, of reconciliation, of Christian living, of how to handle the issues of the day. And that's why Paul writes this. They needed to be united together on what was true and aware that there was a threat from outside that could damage the community. So community is, yes, about relationships, about growth together, but it's about uniting around something. And that thing, for Christians, can't change. It's united around the truth of the gospel. And so if individuals get separated from the community, they're in danger, like a crab or an ant or a penguin that doesn't go to the edge of the iceberg. They need to stay together for protection. See a river here on the screen, quite a raging river. Let me tell you a story about this river. In the state of Mississippi, there was a tribe of Indians many years ago that lived next to a swirling river. And if anyone fell in, they usually drowned because of the irresistible current. But one day they found themselves attacked and cornered by a hostile group of settlers. Their only escape option was to attempt to cross the rushing river. They quickly identified the sick, the children and the elderly, and they grabbed the strongest men and people to help them, to lift them, to carry them. And as they waded out into the river, the strong carriers were relieved to discover that the added weight of those on their shoulders gave them greater stability so that they could keep their footing and make it safely across the river. They avoided attack. They cared for the weak and the vulnerable, but the added weight working together meant that they survived the crossing. It shows how the strength of working together in a team can overcome the challenges and prevent you losing your footing. How much more so when God comes and says, I'll be with you on your team too. It's not just about caring, protecting one another as a team. We have God with us, enabling that protection. The currents of false teaching, the attack of the evil one in trying to knock down churches and bring division, and the tides of culture or whatever else may threaten. How do we stay united? We hold on to the truth of the gospel. And so in verse 19 of the passage, it says this, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. So what Paul points to here is that watch out for false teachers, watch out for that which threatens to attack and bring division. And in fact, how you can stay united is through obedience. What do you obey? The gospel. The word as taught by Paul in the New Testament. Everyone that has heard that continues to obey that. And that's why he has joy. So keeping unity through proclaiming that which is true rather than getting caught up in that which is not true. Another verse in a book called Colossians. So Paul writing a letter to the church in Colossae is another young church. And he says this in verse 6 of chapter 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and of overflowing with thankfulness. He's pointing the people to growing deep roots, not just going to church and then waiting till next Sunday. Being planted, rooted in community, strengthened in the faith with others, as they were taught, as we are taught. Hold on to the teaching. Hold on to the truth of the word. Feed yourself and read the Bible during the week. Read it with others in life group. And as you read it with others in community, the truth encourages you, teaches you, builds you, helps you through the challenges that come. And then what Paul does is he gets a bit more practical, and he says it's not just about teaching, it's also about being discerning and wise. And so a community on mission needs protecting from attack, from division, from false teaching. It does so by holding on obediently to the truth of the Bible, and it does so by being transformed by that truth to live wisely, to be discerning. I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. It's hard, isn't it? Because often it's the reverse. We're pretty wise on what is evil and maybe not so wise about what is good. But Paul here, and I think for us, if we can be wise as a community, as individuals, seeking to apply the teaching that we hear and making wise life choices against the flow of culture, then that is doing what Paul encourages, living in wisdom, living, making right choices in the light of what the Bible teaches. J.B. Phillips puts it like this. He says this: I want to see you experts in good and not even beginners in evil. Keep that in your mind. What does that look like for the decisions you've got to make at the moment, for how you live out the Christian life? And then finally, thankfully, our protection isn't just something we generate ourselves together in our ability to obey the Bible or live wisely, because often we'll disobey and often we'll make wrong choices. Our protection, thankfully, comes from God. And it is by God's power and grace that we are sustained. Verse 20 says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." That is what we must remember and hold on to. That God has crushed Satan when he rose from the grave and is giving us his power and the ability to deal with any attack from Satan in the current time until Jesus returns and completely brings victory in all our lives and in the world. But until that point, we have God's grace with us in community, enabling us to make the right choices, to be a wise community, to be obeying the word, being united around the truth. And so as I finish, I started pointing to the Trinity, pointing to God the Father, Son, and Spirit, that great perfect community in unity of common mind. Do you know what? God the Father, Son, and Spirit welcomes us all into community with them. If you're not a Christian yet, I want to say you are welcome. It's not about being perfect. If you are a Christian, then together God's plan is to say, come and join the best community in the world, the church, with God at its center. And then God says, everyone's got a part. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit had a role to play whilst being united and one, also distinct and able to achieve the purposes. Each one of us has a role. And as we're invited into community with God, into fellowship with him, we all have a part to play. And the great news is that God's purpose is to enable his church to be holy, pure, and blameless. And that's not reliant on you and me. That's possible because of Jesus. Let me pray. Father, I pray that we would depend on your grace whether we've been hurt by others, whether we've felt let down, whether we have consumed rather than committed, whether we've failed to be the community you ask us to be, we thank you that grace is there, that there is hope because of your transforming love and power. I just pray that as a community we would dig deep roots, that we would build real friendships and relationships and be welcoming to the new and involve people quickly and be a great light to others. And out of that will come the mission so naturally, that as we get used to what it is to be community, you would enable us to be outwardly a blessing to others, speakers of the truth and practices of that same truth. In Jesus' name, amen.